Good morning and welcome back to your favorite Marvel podcast. That's right. This is Friends from Work, a podcast about all things in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, hosted by myself, Kyle Sconewell, and my longtime friend, ironically and truly from work, Robert Earl. Robbie Earl. Today, well, let's just kick it off by saying welcome back to the Friendly Awards. Last week we did the nominees. This week we are going to announce the winners, and the winners were chosen by our very special Friends from Work Plus community, which we always love. Robbie, congratulations on closing a massive trial in what I understand was not only the trial finished, but finished with a victory, a dub. Congratulations.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. Man, it's been such a wild couple of months with some sort of major life event every month since like October.
Hey, but all good things.
All good things. That's the thing I was telling Candace. It's so nice to, you work these like 20 hour days for the kind of week of trial and the half week leading up to it. And this is our first time doing that with a baby. Yep. And Candace was very gracious in that she essentially became a single parent for that period of time. And she did great.
It's just raising your grit score. You know, you need a little bit of grit. You need some adversity in your life to battle through.
That's the thing.
Character.
Otherwise, it gets boring around here. But
that's right.
It was nice. Like after all that, you know, it was a jury trial, and it's really hard to know ever what a jury is going to do. Like when you're in front of a judge, you can kind of tell often what they will do based on what they have done in the past. But like you go to enough of these like mock juries and jury focus group things ahead of trials, and you kind of get a sense of how people deliberate. And it is just, you have no idea how people are going to come out and what experience they're bringing into this that you're not aware of. And it was something where we closed out on Thursday, and the jury started deliberating and made it, I think, you know, an hour before the judge sent them home. And then they came back Friday morning, and we had like just gotten to the courthouse and then found out.
Does he send them home to think individually and then they come back?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he just sends them home when the courthouse closes, basically.
Oh, just end of day.
Yeah. And then they'll come back for however long they need to.
How often is that decided in like 45 minutes versus 12 hours?
Typically, in my experience, it is, this was maybe the fastest. Oh. I saw a jury come back, you know, not counting the night between, but in terms of like actual hours deliberating together. Normally for me, it's been anywhere from like kind of 3 or 4 hours to like, you know, 12 to,
wow,
to 13, kind of like.
And if someone's like going to jail or, you know, like that I would imagine that would take longer typically because they know they're.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's the other thing. Sometimes it depends on how many questions are put to them. So one of the things that was different about this trial is we didn't have the jury. It was a civil trial, but we didn't have the jury decide damages. We actually gave that to the judge. And so the jury only had to basically decide, like, did they do what they're being accused of doing or not? And then instead of saying, and this is what, you know, the plaintiff now gets. And that's what I think often takes a lot of time because, mm-hmm, like, often I think what happens, so many people have this kind of meet in the middle impulse where they don't often, especially in a civil trial, I think emotions are a lot higher in a criminal trial, obviously. But like in a civil trial, I think people often don't want to just like go fully for one person. And so you'll see like the damages sometimes will be their way of saying like, okay, you win, but we're not going to give you all the money you're asking for because we don't want to like totally come down on this other person or this other party. So I think you, which is when, again, you kind of get into this weird thing of trying to anticipate juror psychology. But here it was kind of nice because they didn't have to go through all that. So we just really had two questions about whether there was patent infringement and then whether the patent infringement was willful. And they said yes to both of those, which means it set us up for a really good damages amount. But we'll see. Wow.
Congratulations.
Appropriate for today.
Yeah, I have it ready, no doubt.
No, but thank you. And yeah, it's nice being back. It's also kind of crazy. I told you this, but this is this is the first time I've taken one of my own cases from filing all the way through trial. And
oh, yeah.
So it was nice to win it. But it was, I was like thinking back on when we filed this and it was March of 2023. So it was like, I was thinking, you know, where I was, we were living in like a different house at the time. I think you and I had just done like some of the interviews with, I think maybe we had just done our like Jeff Loveness interview.
Oh, I love that.
I remember like where I was and when I was doing all that stuff. And it's just, it's always crazy with these suits because you see all these dates and I have this like, I always like put myself back where I was then. And it's funny how often like my brain is just trained to associate whatever month with like whatever MCU thing we were covering because we wind up in such these like eras.
That's just a added benefit, really. It's like it's your timestamp. It's your time code for the rest of your life.
That's
so funny.
That's the thing. It's like my own special calendar. By the way, nice shirt. This is like a nice little wintry and winter in the South kind of a thing. It's actually cold here. It's never cold here, but
same. It's sometimes cold here, but it's very cold here today. This is actually one of the bougier things about me. So I'm going to say something crazy bougie that only 7% of our audience will appreciate, but the 7% that appreciates it, that's how I know you're the real ones. You're the truthers. This is, have you ever heard of Double RL? The brand?
No.
Okay. So
should I have?
Well, no, you're not. You're just not part of the 7%. You're part of the 93%. Oh, so you're not a real one, apparently.
Man.
So I know nothing about this, but I'm going to tell a funny story. Double RL is Ralph Lauren's personal style. It's a crazy, crazy, that's what the RL is. It's a crazy, crazy, exclusive, high-end fashion thing. There are only, I think, 7 stores in the world that have Double RL. And long story short, Kirk got really into it. And so I was at his house after a game where he got his brains kicked in and we lost. And part of the depression therapy was shopping therapy. He's like, there's a Double RL store in Atlanta that I know nothing about. He's like, but we're going and everyone has to get something. So this is, no joke, a $500 jacket that I'm wearing, and this is the Double RL t-shirt. And the guy like checking out, you know, we took a long time looking through all this stuff. Like, I'm not a fashion guy, right? But it looks good, doesn't it?
It looks great.
I look like I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
The guy was like, I personally guarantee that no one in the world will ever have this exact article of clothing because they only make like one of each one for the stores. You know, like this is the only jacket. And he said, if you somehow run into somebody with this jacket, you can come back here and call me and tell me you ran into someone with this particular jacket. Isn't that so bougie?
That's incredible.
Unbelievable. $500 jacket.
Man.
Yeah. So anyways, thank you. I think it looks nice too. I'm going to wear it for like all my band photos. It feels like it's a perfect like band photo jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole world I know nothing about. I knew nothing about, I should say, after kind of touring the shop and talking with the employees and stuff. It's all like, it's like his personal style, I guess. So it's very like rustic Americana, legitimately overalls and big hats, like cowboy hats and like this kind of plaid almost and like flannel and you know what I mean? Like that kind of.
I feel like something style that would fit in that like Taylor Sheridan Yellowstone universe.
Exactly. Like, I feel like I'm about to go out on my ranch right after this.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Have you seen any of those shows, by the way?
Not that one, no.
I haven't either. It's just so crazy to me. Like, so people in my life are always trying to get Candace and I to watch, like, those shows, like Yellowstone, and then there's like the one with Harrison Ford, and then there's the one that I think has like Tim McGraw in it, and then there's one with, now there's like the Landman show with Billy Bob Thornton, and everyone's like always trying to get us to watch these, and it sounds like they're good and have a following, and I just cannot ever get interested in doing that at all.
Yeah, I guess I never put my finger on it, but yeah, I haven't been either, apparently, because I haven't hit play on it. That makes me think about one. Okay, I'm gonna say one more thing, then we have to get into the friendlies. You can time me 60 seconds maximum. One, okay. It's a three-parter. One, I just finished Endgame on my rewatch journey.
Oh, wow,
what a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece. Yeah. It's just, it was a special moment again working through it. Annika and I stayed up late, watched the whole thing, didn't break it into sections. It's so good. Every actor in that movie brings their A game. That's the difference. Yeah. Is every actor is so settled in by that point. It's so special. You have a question?
Did you get emotional at any points during this last watch?
Yep. Tony Stark's death, obviously. The ending of that. I really felt the Nat one this time. People, you know, are always critical about that, and I would really push back because I feel like they do give it a lot of time in different ways. I love the follow-up conversation after the funeral with Wanda and Clint talking about they both do. A lot of things. It really kind of hit me this time, the play between Doctor Strange and Tony with the one thing, you know, where Tony's like really putting it together, that time where Doctor Strange just does the one finger, and then there's a little bit of a look on Tony's face of kind of like sadness, but realizing, oh, I get it. Like, what's going to have to happen and why he wouldn't tell me and all this stuff. And I also just thought, this is not emotional, but I thought about, I really think Doctor Strange was able to kind of see generically what happened. That's my headcanon, but he doesn't know exactly what happened. Because if he knew exactly what happened, you could make the argument like, why go through the rigmarole of fighting Thanos? Just give him the stone. If you know, you can't win, etc. I have always kind of wondered if he saw that Tony Stark can't die at this moment. Like, whatever we're going to do, he has to make it out of here. That's what I think he
saw. Yeah, so I think it's the moment when it looks like Tony's about to die that he, like, takes action. Because, that's how I view it. Because otherwise, it's also just, like, I don't know that we've ever seen Doctor Strange use the Time Stone in that way where he knows, like, exactly how things are going to play out in all of these. But I like the idea that it's, like, maybe he's seeing flashes of like these final battles with Thanos, and he's like seeing a flash of Tony.
And there's kind of a hint at that I never caught before too, because the Ancient One says you're about 5 years too early. So she has peered in the future. Remember in Doctor Strange, she talks about, I've seen up till this moment, but I've never gone beyond it.
Yeah.
But even that, it makes you wonder how clear her picture was. Like, is she just repeating everything that she needs to repeat so that Doctor Strange ends up at that exact point? Or did she kind of see a generic picture of Doctor Strange is going to matter and he's going to be the best of us? You got to lean into it. You got to teach him. You know what I'm saying? Is that what she saw?
Yeah.
But even her performance is so moving. I just get really moved by how every time you see somebody, you're like, oh man, Clint is really good in this because we didn't have an Infinity War, and how he handles it, and Nat's so good, and the dynamic with Nat and Cap, and I'm not going to do this whole thing, but it's a masterpiece. I'll skip one of my other points. My other final point is I watched His and Hers, the miniseries on Netflix. It's the number one show on Netflix right now. It's like a crime drama, but I clicked on it because it's Valkyrie and the Punisher. It's John Bernthal and Tessa Thompson as the main leads.
Oh,
like
that's
a six episode, like crime thriller almost. And it's not the greatest thing ever, but it's pretty good. They're good, and it was kind of fun. There's a few plot holes, but it's got twists that you can't predict, and it's kind of cool. It's just like it's kind of like Knives Out. It's like a little bit cheaper version of Knives Out, not as tight of a story.
Okay,
essentially. Yeah.
Did you watch the latest Knives Out, by the way?
And when I filled out the friendlies, I think I put that the latest Knives Out is my favorite movie of the year.
When I went back, I love that.
So that's my submission to this.
I thought it was so good.
I thought it was so good. I love the acting, the story, the twists, et cetera. And what an incredible picture I thought of Christianity.
From all angles, I think.
The main priest was flawed, but so grace-filled.
Yeah.
And I got legitimately moved at the very end when he's kind of like relieving. Yeah. I won't spoil anything, but just the ending was very moving for me.
Yeah. No, I thought it was a great, like a very sincere look at spirituality in general from Ryan Johnson.
It made me look into Ryan Johnson's past because it was so kind of deftly handled.
Yeah.
That I kind of looked up to, how does he have such a good feel for this? So that was my favorite movie of the year. In a year, honestly, where I went back, I didn't love a ton of movies this year, which is crazy. I couldn't find that many that I was like, I don't know if any of the movies from this year made my, that's the best movie I've ever seen in my list thing. Okay. Holy crap. We're 17 minutes in. Here we go. Welcome back to the Friendly Awards.
Speaking of looking back.
Yes, correct. I love that transition. Thank you. Why don't you take it? Set us up for the first category.
Okay. This is fun. Okay, we're going to breeze through the nominees here. We're reading these out. Just for context, if you want to hear more about that, go listen to our episode last week when we revealed the nominees. But this is not for that. This is for announcing the winners. And our first category is Best Addition to the MCU.
And we have an incredibly close start right off the bat.
Incredibly close.
Incredibly close.
Okay, so as a reminder, our nominees were Red Hulk, Heather Glenn, Sentry, Mephisto, and Sue Storm. And the winner is, by 3%, almost 4%, Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm.
It's good. And only 3% over Sentry, which is who I think I voted for. Wow, that's tight between those two. I had a hard time deciding. Part of it is when it's called addition to the MCU, don't you almost want to see where they go to then determine years down the road, was that the better entry or not, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that that's a good, I mean, like for me, I really do hope we get not too much, but a little bit more of Mephisto in the coming years because I did really like the little bit that we got there.
No doubt. Congratulations, Vanessa Kirby. I think at the end of this, you know what? Talk for one more second, Robbie. Say anything you want. I'm going to get a piece of paper and tally which movie's winning, okay? So say something. Tell the audience something.
Well, this is actually a perfect time for me to say that while I was out and driving back and forth, these like I would like get back in from trial at like 2 a.m. and leave at like 6 a.m. And so I would it's like finding little things to listen to that could kind of turn my brain off for a second. And I told you I was so behind, and I finally got a second to catch up on the Kyle Listen episodes on Friends from Work Plus that I had not gotten to listen to.
Doesn't Neil do a legitimately great job? Isn't it? First of all, it's a great voice, right?
It's so good. It's like I made Candace listen to a little bit just to hear like
so
how
I.
perfectly NPR Neil's
exactly.
voice is.
Exactly. That's what when I texted you the night he sent me the first one, I texted you and Pete, dude, it's like perfect. It's a different vibe. You know what I mean? Like it's like the produce thing that we don't do. It's just it fills a totally different void to me. And you'll catch up then and notice that I did go watch The Punisher after he said it.
So
I joined him.
That's my next episode is like the Kyle Listened.
Yeah. Which is just so fun, I think. I don't know. I'm fired up by it.
No, he makes, I mean, it's
compelling arguments.
Like, it's very compelling and very thoughtful and so well written.
Yeah, yeah, he acknowledges when it's not the greatest thing ever. But I did enjoy The Punisher. And honestly, I just released his episode where he talks about Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. And I'm intrigued with my daughter. He says, you got to watch with your daughter. I'm intrigued to try it. Okay.
Anyway, shout out Neil. But I did want to get that in.
Best on-screen team-up. If you remember, we had Captain America and Falcon, Daredevil and Punisher, Yelena and the New Avengers, Ironheart and Natalie, and the Fantastic Four. And the winner is a tie.
Holy cow. Has that ever happened?
So just to be totally honest, I haven't pre-screened this. So when I just read that out loud, that was the first time I looked over and realized, oh, it's 39% to 39%. What do we do? Truly a tie. 39% between Yelena and the New Avengers and the Fantastic Four. Oh my gosh.
Look, I think we embrace it. I think
it's a tie.
We give out two awards for this category, and I think it's a sign of how great both of those movies were. And here's the other thing. I'm realizing that because of when we recorded this, I never actually went and voted myself.
Oh, so you could be the tiebreaker.
So I could be the tiebreaker. But I'm looking and like, I don't even know. I think maybe I would lean towards the Fantastic Four just because it's such a great, like, I think about that final scene where Galactus is walking towards Franklin and everyone's kind of working in tandem. But at the same time, like that moment and at the end of Thunderbolts, whenever
they're all hugging.
Yeah, like it's a pretty powerful moment. So I don't know. I think a tie is appropriate.
Tie. Oh my gosh. Maybe the first ever. Double check us on that in the friendlies. First ever. All right. Best jaw drop.
Okay. Our nominees, Red Hulk Emerges, Foggy Falls, Bob Rises, Levitating for the First Time, Riri Takes the Deal, and Sue Births a Space God While Escaping a Space God.
Thank you.
The winner. Wow. Is
wow,
Foggy Falls by a wide margin.
A wide margin, and is that fair to say that's surprising a little bit? I mean, I love it, but that's surprising.
You know, I think it was surprising as I was reading it, but looking at it, yeah, I think that I was legit. I mean, you know, we spent a lot of that first season debating whether he was truly dead. Because I think it was such a shock. Like, it was such a shock because we found out that, oh, Elden Hansen wasn't going to be in it. Oh, and now he is going to be in it because they want to bring it back. And then it's like, never mind. So I do think it was a nice, like, if you're looking at jaw drop from that perspective, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they just did that versus like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing I've seen, which is kind of a different.
Sometimes when you're working on music or you're writing a song, the one song that you can't get out of your head, like days later, you're still singing the melody and you can't remember what the verse was or something. That's usually a telling sign for me where I'm like, wow, the chorus legit slaps because I can't remember the verse, but I just can't get this one dumb thing out of my head. That's a little bit how I felt with Foggy. I remember the Bob Rises for the first time. I remember that moment where I grabbed your knee, but Foggy Falls, I have a distinct memory of I watched before you because we got it as a screener and I texted you like, oh my gosh, or have you watched it yet? And then I posted even on social media, like slightly teared up going, guys, oh my gosh, we're back. Like, this is crazy. We're back.
I couldn't say anything.
And people were like, is he crying or like, are his eyes watery? That's how much it sticks in my brain. So that's probably a fair choice. That's my point of saying that. That is probably the right choice. If you can't stop thinking about it, then that's probably it.
And that's nice because I'm looking. What is that? Is that one? I guess. Well, with the tie, I think we've so far had like four projects represented.
I got 2-1-1. Fantastic Four twice, Thunderbolts once, and Daredevil once.
Oh, nice. Okay, nice. I like that though.
And we might change it here. Who knows? Best action sequence, the Celestial Island fight, Daredevil and Punisher versus the Law, Sentry Reigns Supreme, Ironheart's van flip off, and Galactus comes to New York Comic Con, if you remember, and the winner, New York City, the winner by a incredibly narrow margin again is Sentry Reigns Supreme from Thunderbolts, narrowly beating out Galactus coming to New York City.
Wow. Which, by the way, how fun to have two awesome, like, third act MCU moments both taking place in Manhattan.
You know what's wild? Like, for sure. Finally back in New York City.
It feels so classic and perfect. And they're both so different.
Mm-hmm. That's funny because I was opposite of our audience, I think. On the last one that tied, I would have probably said Yelena and the New Avengers. That would have been my vote to break that tie. Here, I think I actually voted for Galactus as an action sequence. So...
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I mean, I think we talked about this with Thunderbolts, how I really appreciated the fact that, I mean, so much of that battle was interior. Like it was not so much that everything's exploding, like trying to recreate the Battle of New York. It in a way, I think was inverting that in a like to fit the tone of the quote-unquote New Avengers and the different kind of battle that they're having to fight as opposed to the original Avengers. And I think that's part of the genius of it. But I think to your point, like the Fantastic Four, I think had a higher bar to clear because Galactus is this kind of iconic Marvel villain. And, you know, it's like you have to make that do it. And I do think like, you know, having watched that not long ago, there is a real, and man, the emotional kind of climax of that with Sue sacrificing herself and just, yeah. But I'm happy. I think either of those is a fair one.
And honorable mention to Daredevil and the Punisher with 23% of the vote. Not nothing there.
Yeah, yeah, true.
All right, best villain, Robbie.
Okay, best villain. Is it the leader? Mayor Fisk, Val, the Hood, or Galactus.
Ooh.
And again, maybe our biggest lead so
widest
far.
Widest margin, yeah. Almost a runaway here.
Mayor Fisk. It's a good answer.
Yeah, I think that's probably the right call.
I think
we're going to get a trailer, by the way, for Mayor Fisk again in Daredevil Season 2. I would think any week now.
Oh, next man, week that's or two. Fun. Yeah. I do think we had some good villains, but I think that like Galactus doesn't really come across, and he's not supposed to, as like a malevolent being. Like he's like a force of nature.
Right.
And I think
he is
like
a
Mayor
villain,
Fisk,
but you don't think of him as a villain right away as much.
Right. Like I think... It's more just, it is this thing that you just have to figure out how to work around. Like, and that's sort of who he becomes in the comics. It's more complicated than like good or bad. But Mayor Fisk, I mean, I just think about the like, the skull crushing moment there. Like that's
tough. Tough pretty, to get out of your head.
That's in villain territory. We're firmly in villain territory there.
And for best romance, this is an even wider victory.
Yeah.
Best romance, we have Matt and Heather, Frank and Karen, Wilson and Vanessa, Reed and Sue, and Ben and Rachel. And with 73% of the vote, even though there were six or five nominees, the winner is Reed and Sue.
Aww. Yeah. You know what I kind of love looking at this, though? Matt and Heather and Wilson and Vanessa have exactly the same amount, like the same share of the, the vote here.
8.5%.
Yeah, interesting.
All right, best surprise appearance.
Okay. Liv Tyler as Betty Ross, Frank Castle in Daredevil Born Again, Lewis Pullman as Sentry, I think as opposed to just Bob, Sacha Baron Cohen as Mephisto, and Paul Walter Hauser as Mole Man. The winner here, again, by a huge margin, Sacha Baron Cohen as Mephisto.
Let's go. An Ironheart win. I love that. Yeah. That's what
I
wanted.
And another, I think that's the right call.
That's the right call. Yeah, that's the right call. I think all of those, like Liv Tyler, it's almost a cameo. So this is for me. This is just me speaking. It's almost a cameo. So it's kind of like, okay. John Bernthal, I feel like I had heard rumors for a long time that he was going to be back in to some degree. I feel like the same thing kind of happened with Sentry, like even just via our conversations, you kind of told me it could be this character named Sentry. And I think I was kind of, but I just feel like Sasha snuck up on me. And that was the one that was surprising to me. That
that show
ended with an actual kind of like Satan conversation was crazy to me. And again, the show being Ironheart, me going into it assuming it's very just like she's trying to build a suit like Iron Man. And for it to have all the magic stuff was very surprising.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I that one like legitimately, even having heard the rumors, that was one of the more fun,
yeah,
like,
oh, we're doing this.
Actual surprises. Yeah. Yeah.
It probably helps that that WandaVision had done that too, you know? Because I think that was part of it for me is like, oh, we are finally doing Mephisto.
Yeah.
From all the jokes, you know? Best cameo appearance, and by the way, Fantastic Four has 3, Thunderbolts 2, Daredevil 2, and Ironheart 1 at this point. So best cameo appearance, and this is a very, very tight one. If you remember, we have Bucky Barnes, the Swordsman, Yusuf Khan, Olivia Walker, Professor Wilkes, and who is this from the last one? It's cut off.
Oh, I think this is the cast of the 1994 Fantastic Four. Oh,
that's why I didn't recognize the name. You're right. You're right. Sorry. I was cut off while I was looking at this. So for best cameo, the winner is, by a very narrow margin, Mohan Kapoor as Yusuf Khan from Daredevil.
Born Again. That's so fun. I love that.
So Daredevil with its third award now.
Dude, these results so far are perfectly balanced as all things should be.
As all things should be. I voted for him as well. So that's my vote.
I'll note for those that are curious, the only by a couple percentage points behind was the Bucky Barnes appearance in Brave New World.
Right.
Which I think is fair. I was like, that was a fun moment to see him pop up, especially because we knew he was going to be in Thunderbolts. So I don't, I think if we didn't know that, I would have just thought it was a given that we would get a shot of Bucky. But I think knowing that we had that right around the corner and seeing him was a nice little moment.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're up.
Okay. Best credit scene. This is a fun one. The leader warns of multiversal war. The Punisher goes free. New Avengers spot the Fantastic Four. The Hood seeks magical help. And Doom finds Franklin. Again, it comes down to Fantastic Four and Thunderbolts here. But Thunderbolts wins with about 2 times as many votes for New Avengers spot the Fantastic Four.
62%. Yeah. If Doom had showed his face, maybe that's a different result.
Yeah, that's true.
That Thunderbolts credit scene is so good just because it ties those two together. You know, like all of a sudden it was like, oh my gosh, this is a different world coming here. That was cool to me.
Hey, I know we talked about this, how that credit scene in Thunderbolts was directed by the Russos. I read the other day, but I have not verified this, and I'm sure Greg could confirm, but am I right that the Doom scene in Fantastic Four was also directed by the Russos?
Oh, someone else answer that. I think so, but don't correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's right.
I'm kind of surprised that's not a little closer because I thought that those were both really fun, but I do think the Thunderbolts scene is a lot more like, there's a lot more meat there.
Yeah. I am triple checking this because I think I just put a tally. I put a tally on the wrong one because it said Fantastic Four. Yeah, they only have 3 wins. That's a Thunderbolts win, actually.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. A little behind the scenes there. Okay, best needle drop. Elephant, Everything in Its Right Place, Pony, Sinner Man, and Let's Get Lost. Wow. Okay. I was not in the majority here. The winner is actually Pony from Thunderbolts. Another award for Thunderbolts.
Wow.
I voted Everything in Its Right Place. I just thought that was a great Daredevil closer.
Yeah. Isn't there also like a Nick Cave song in Born Again? I think in the first episode, like the time jump, like a Nick Cave song, like the...
Oh, Nick Cave. I thought you said Nick Cage. I was like, he's making music? Did I miss this?
Honestly, if Nick Cage started making music, I do think like Daredevil would be a perfect place to drop that, but not the show, probably like the 2003 movie.
Okay, let's take a quick break. I want to tell you and our listeners that we have an awesome deal going with Panel Bound Comics. They provide the best comics in the biz. And right now, if you go to panelboundcomics.com, you can use our promo code FRIENDSFROMWORK to save money on comics that are already discounted and in great condition and brand new. And I want to take 1 second to say we are about to record our Marvel Comics 101. I'm reaching for my backpack here. Here's an example of a comic that you can get, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, at Panel Bound Comics. And it's a great book, great shape, everything you want. And we're going to be talking about this on Friends From Work Plus pretty soon. I think it's the fourth episode in our Marvel Comics 101 series. And then at the end of the episode, we will unveil what our next book that we will all be reading together will be. And again, it's perfect for people who haven't done comics in the past and they want to get into it. It's a perfect deal where you can go to panelboundcomics.com, use promo code FRIENDSFROMWORK to get it cheaply, and then read it with us, like me, because I've never read it, and then we talk about it on Friends From Work Plus.
And a lot of these selections are, they're not meant to correspond to particular MCU films or anything, but I do think I've thought about this with MCU fans that have never read comics in mind. So I think a lot of them do have similar tones, but also I think, you know, Kyle and I have been talking offline and I think that it's going to wind up kind of dovetailing pretty well into some Doomsday and Secret Wars prep. So more on that later, but it is a really good time to get caught up. And we've also got some recommended readings that come out pretty frequently in our newsletter.
That's right. Which you can subscribe to for free if you want to see what we're reading, even if you're not listening to the episodes. Okay, we'll be right back. Every day, companies you've probably never even heard of are making billions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just data broker removal. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your life online. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager to keep logins safe, and spam call protection to cut off scammers. Aura also scans the dark web for your most sensitive information, like your social security number, bank logins, and passwords, and notifies you instantly if they're exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you are backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 US-based fraud support to help you recover quickly. Other services charge about the same, but they only cover one or two areas. With Aura, you get it all: data broker removal, credit and identity monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all in one simple app. Aura removes what is already exposed, protects what is not, and puts you back in control. So right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That is enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. The new year doesn't require a new you, maybe just a less burdened you. Therapy can help more easily identify what weighs you down or holds you back by offering an unbiased perspective to better understand your relationships, motivations, and emotions. Both Robbie and I are new dads, and we're facing all kinds of new challenges and things that we need to let go of, like the pressure of making sure our kids turn out just right or the financial burden that comes with adding to your family. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and our 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means we typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from our tailored recommendations. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is one of the world's largest online therapy platforms, having served over 5 million people globally. And it works. With an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp makes it so easy to get matched online with a qualified therapist. Both Robbie and I are big proponents of therapy, and BetterHelp is simply the best in the business. So sign up right now and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's right, 10% off at betterhelp.com if you sign up right now. That's betterhelp, H-E-L-P.com.
All right. Best composer. We had Laura Cartman, the Newton Brothers, Sun Lux, Dara Taylor, and Michael Giacchino. And the winner here, probably surprising no one, is Michael Giacchino for the Fantastic Four First Steps.
Is that what you would have voted for?
Probably, but I do think for me, I think Thunderbolts, it looks like, got about 30% of the vote to Fantastic Four's 60. And I think... It's so, I mean, this is the hard thing this year in general between these two, is they're stylistically so different, and I love both of them. And I think the score is kind of the microcosm of that, and that Giacchino's Fantastic Four is, it's like big and glittery and bombastic and like emotional and kind of classic. Like it has classic this sort of score. John Williams.
Yeah.
Like, whereas that was perfect for that. And then I just think the Sun Lux score for Thunderbolts is so different from anything else we've gotten in the MCU. That
it's almost more Nine Inch Nails-y a little bit.
Yeah. You know? And man, it's crazy because I know so much of the talk coming out of Fantastic Four was Giacchino's score. And I do think that if it weren't Giacchino, and I had heard that score, I think I would have been blown away. But I have sort of come to expect a level of excellence from him. But I think, like, to me, there's still something that's so cool about the moment that, like the Bucky track drops when they look back and he's following the limo.
Oh, for sure.
It's such a dope moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great reveal. Such a good... Is that Bucky? And then the music kicks in.
It's just like it's cool. Like the Fantastic Four score is
it's aura. If you want to stay. Yeah,
wow. Yeah, I can't. No. No. What's my like 19th century lingo? Smashing.
It's smashing. That reveal. It's not fire. It's it's spectacular. It's excellent. Okay. Best voice acting performance. A lot of nominees here. Hudson as Peter Parker, Gray Song, Coleman Domingo, Iman Vellani, Elizabeth Olsen, Simu Liu, Todd Williams, and Winnie Harlow. And the winner is going to be Hudson Thames as Peter Parker. So congratulations to him, but just very narrowly beating out Coleman Domingo as Norman Osborn, 32.9% to 30.5%.
I think I might have given it to like if I were to put a finger on the scale, I would maybe go Coleman Domingo, but
really? Okay.
Close.
And Coleman Domingo has been one of those characters that people have rumored for the MCU forever. And he has spoken on it's been rumored so much that he's been asked about it and he's been kind of like, yeah, I would love to, I got to pick my spot where it would be. Like I've talked to, so that'll be an interesting one to see if he makes it into the live action thing ever.
I mean, it would be like, I would love to see him as a live action Norman Osborn, like because it's just such a different version of the character that I think you would almost have to do. You would have to do something that's so far from what Willem Dafoe's doing that it could be a fresh,
Yeah, he wouldn't do the zany thing as much, So
yeah.
Okay, so one win for your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Let's go. Best supporting actress.
All right, we have just. Character-wise here, Sabra from Brave New World, Heather Glenn, Val, Mel, Thunderbolts, Natalie from Ironheart, the Silver Surfer, and Hannah John Common as Ghost in Thunderbolts. The winner here with just over half the vote, Julia Garner as Shala Ball, the Silver Surfer. Good, fair, right.
Yeah, that's the right call. Yep. She does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Best supporting actor. This is where I was saying these next few categories, the next three, are really tough to choose. Who's like between Yelena and Vanessa Kirby in a second here. That's going to be, I don't know what the answer is, but that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Okay. Best supporting actor. We had, again, I'll do the characters, Red Hulk, Mayor Fisk, Red Guardian, Aldrin. Oh gosh. Joe. Sorry.
Yeah.
Again, it's cut off on my thing. Joe and Zeke Stane. Sorry about that. Was cut off. Johnny Storm, The Thing, and John Walker. And this one's a little bit closer. 41.5% of the vote said the best supporting actor is Mayor Fisk. Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
That is five awards for Fantastic Four, four for Thunderbolts, four for Daredevil. So we are tightly contested.
You know what's... What's so crazy to me is, like, there was this debate for a while within the fan community, like before we got Hawkeye, before we got No Way Home, like, do we want Daredevil to merge into the MCU? Do we need more of that? If we get Daredevil, should we just start it over with new folks? And it's just, I know that it's crazy to think about that now.
Yeah,
but there was legitimate debate, and now it's just, I love that it, like, Vincent D'Onofrio, I feel like every time he pops up in one of our categories now, it's just like an easy win, because he's just like, he's incredible. That's why I think it would just be so hard to ever, I don't know how you're ever going to do a Kingpin again that isn't Vincent D'Onofrio.
I think having gone back and watched all of the Daredevil stuff multiple times, I now kind of feel like a Daredevil expert of sorts. And then we watched the old movies. Oh my gosh, I'm so thankful that they kept Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio. Like, you can't recast them in the same way that they are. It's not to this level, I guess, but, like, you know, Iron Man is Tony Stark, is Robert Downey Jr. You don't think about changing that. It's kind of like that. However, I think that debate probably stems from some of the other stuff, like with the hand and the Defenders, is like, people are thinking, like, do we want to erase that part? And if that's the case, you know, is it worth just starting over? I still think the answer is no, but I think that's probably where the debate stems. It's not from them in particular.
No, I mean, I think that's right. But I do think, like, those two and John Bernthal's Punisher, I think that those are three of the best
legendary casting
in the history of Marvel projects. Just period.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's that far off. That's not that crazy.
No, it's, which is also why I'm it's exciting to be saying that and to be looking at another Daredevil and potentially three Punisher appearances this year, depending on how it shakes out, but at least two and a Daredevil Mayor Fisk appearance.
And baby, online this week, there were some outlets that have reported that Sony is finally loosening their grip on the characters with Disney. So there was, for the first time ever, talk of, you know, Kingpin, Daredevil, Spider-Man ever getting together. Maybe there was a little bit more. Apparently they're more open to the idea of letting the characters join our team. So that's really exciting. That could be really exciting. Cause as good as Mayor Fisk is, we need Fisk in a movie. We need him in a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
As like a,
I know.
Even if he's not the main character, like in the video game, you start by just taking down Fisk, and it's more like, look at all the ramifications that happen because you take down his crime syndicate.
Yeah. But
even that could be fun. Like, Spider-Man, let's say, puts Fisk in jail, but then look at all this other stuff that happens because of that. You know what I mean?
Having the Punisher in Brand New Day, I think is really paving the way for that, right? Because shouldn't it be close. The Punisher is also a Spider-Man.
We're close.
My understanding is Sony owns the film rights to any character that first appeared in an Amazing Spider-Man comic or, you know, in the Spider-Man mythology, and Punisher and Kingpin are both that. Yeah. So I would think if they can bring, you know, if they're comfortable bringing in that into the movie, they're comfortable with the other.
It's the most no-brainer of all time. Think about it. Two things are happening at the same time. One, the MCU and Disney are treating their characters when they get them to the best possible quality you can. Like Sony got to witness No Way Home. Now Sony's getting to experience probably Tobey Maguire being in Secret Wars. Like, so they know that the MCU is treating this with care. All of these characters, Green Goblin is a huge win from that movie. Now you're talking about Punisher and Daredevil and all this stuff coming together. That's one thing. And then simultaneously, while that's happening, their universe is falling apart. No one's watching Mobius and Kraven. And so, or Morbius, not Mobius, Morbius. So, in Madam Web. You know what I'm saying, though? So, like, those two things happen at the same time. It's like, this is a no-brainer, guys. Just let them do it. You'll still get a bunch of credit for a lot of these characters. So,
no, for sure.
Okay, so, I just set this up. Best lead actress, and I set it up, and now you got to answer it. Look at that.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Best lead actress, Deborah Ann Woll, Karen Page, Florence Pugh, Yelena Belova, Dominique Thorne, Riri Williams, and Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm.
Wow. And
in maybe the biggest surprise, not the winner, but the margin, we have Florence Pugh with a whopping 75% of the vote.
I just set up, like, how are you going to choose between the two of them? And then it was
over three times the amount that Vanessa Kirby got. So that is, that's wild. I think that's how I would have voted personally, but and maybe a lot of people, you know, it's like you don't see how torn people were, I guess. But maybe a lot of folks kind of felt like Florence just nudged her out, but wow.
Here's my thing with Florence, and I would like you to react to this. Years ago, we hopped on the podcast and we talked about Florence and Timothy Chalamet, and I specifically asked you, I said, are you on the Florence hype train? Like, are you on the train, or are you trying to catch the train? Because it was starting to take off for her, and she was becoming the darling of Hollywood. Essentially, like, any indie movie that had her was a slam dunk, and I really liked her in Black Widow, and I thought she was funny and there was an emotional core, but I don't know that I was like fully on the train. I think I get it now. Like I get this. Yeah. I get this winner. It's the rare ability, I think, to have the humor that she does, like her dry wit in Black Widow. But now with Thunderbolts having like really aching moments, like to the point where the Oscars tweeted about that scene with Red Guardian. They tweeted, Florence Pugh really brought it this year or something like that for the best picture thing.
Yeah.
Now I'm not saying she's going to win, but I'm saying like they're making a public, you know, PR campaign of like, look at her in this scene.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do think, I think Candace and I think maybe Midsummer was the first Florence Pugh movie that I saw. And that's such an impressive performance. But yeah, man, she's got a lot of range. I mean, like her stuff in Oppenheimer, like some of the like dialogue between her and Killian there, like those are some of my favorite scenes in that movie. The thing about Yelena is it's such a unique, like the way she, like the way that everything is delivered through this accent that could be so goofy and ridiculous. But it's somehow like I think it's a tough thing because she can use that sometimes to play up the humor, but then also like it doesn't prevent her from having serious scenes and like real moments. And I think it's a tough thing to not get drawn into sort of like the cartoonishness that you could whenever you just feel like an actor is like, wanting to have fun with it or something.
It's so similar to Elizabeth Olsen, isn't it? I mean, I feel like those are almost exactly parallels. I also would say it's kind of a parallel in that I feel like her accent is more believable even still in Thunderbolts than it was in Black Widow. Like, it's improved as well, I think.
Yeah.
As far as it just sounds a little more natural. It's maybe not as put on. Just like Elizabeth Olsen, when you go look at her in like Civil War and Age of Ultron, it's crazy, you know, Russian, Eastern European. Yeah. And it's kind of died down a little bit by WandaVision. Now, part of that's because of the story, I think, too. Like, she's intentionally doing it, I think. Because remember in WandaVision, when she kind of comes out as like the Scarlet Witch, comes out of the Hex and they all have the gun, like, she's very Russian sounding all of a sudden again.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which I think is kind of intentional. But my point is, it's only improved, I think.
For sure.
Okay, let's keep it moving so it's not so long here. Best lead actor, Sam Wilson, Matthew Murdock, Sentry, Bucky Barnes, The Hood, or Reed Richards. Obviously, the actors, not those characters. And with 53.7% of the vote, wow, another stunner for me. The answer is, the winner is, Charlie Cox as Matthew Murdock.
Yes.
I guess I say stunner because that's not, I don't think that's who I voted for.
Gosh, wow.
Five wins for Daredevil, five for Fantastic Four, five for Thunderbolts so far.
Yeah, I think it would have been either Sentry or Matt Murdock. But I will say, like, I've always liked Charlie Cox's performance as Matt in Daredevil. And I think you and I both agreed that this was a step up even from what we've gotten in past Netflix seasons. So I like that. I just in general like that Daredevil Born Again is getting so much love.
So do I. I need to rewatch that show. That's the honest truth. I haven't gotten there in my rewatch. And I've only seen it one time when it aired. And so I kind of want to see how the whole series hits me again once I'm going through the whole rigmarole. And I'm going to get there. I just finished Endgame. But yeah, it feels like it's been so long now. I'd love to get there before Daredevil Born Again Season 2. So,
yeah.
Best writer/writing team. Almost done with the big ones here.
Okay. So I'm just going to go by project here.
Yeah. Or just say the winner. Yeah.
that's true. As a reminder, this is Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, Brave New World, Daredevil Born Again, Thunderbolts, Ironheart, Fantastic Four,
Eyes of Wakanda,
and then Marvel Zombies.
Yeah.
And the winner here also, by a very wide margin. Wow. Eric Pearson and Joanna Kahlo for Thunderbolts. Like, by a huge margin, Kyle.
Huge margin.
Holy cow.
That's what I voted for. I have not seen the next category. My thought, Robbie, you tell me, is that Thunderbolts was a slightly better written movie than Fantastic Four as far as the emotional depth that went to kind of how the movie is paced from the reveals, those kind of writing. But I think,
and the humor,
I think I vote Shackman for director because with maybe not as good of writing, I thought Fantastic Four from like a direction standpoint, what it looked like, the music, how that worked in, the pacing of the scenes is probably, I don't know, because I love Jake Shire too.
No. I mean, but I think that's a fair split. It is funny that Eric Pearson wrote on both movies. But
oh gosh,
yeah, wow,
which is crazy.
I mean, Thunderbolts got 56.1% of the vote, and the second place was actually not even Fantastic Four. It was Daredevil Born Again with 14.6%. So that's how big of a drop off it was. This is why I love doing this, and why it's so much more fun this year than it has been in the past, because this is the first time that almost every category we've talked about, it could be a number of things.
Yeah. And that's like, refreshing.
I would not have expected that result, but I love it.
Thunderbolts now takes the late lead by one award. Late. Best director. Here we go. Julia Sona, Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead, Jake Schreier, Sam Bailey, Matt Shackman, Brian Andrews. And in a very, 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 very close, one here with 46% of the vote. It's Jake Schreier for Thunderbolts.
Wow.
So Jake edges out Matt Shackman here by 9% or so. Third place was Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead. This will be really fun to track. First of all, I want to see more Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead for next year, like next year's friendlies. So let's see if season two, kind of with all of the preconceived notions and reins lifted, what that looks like with them doing it, not piecing together the series. And Jake is going to have a shot here with a new X-Men movie in a couple of years, which is going to be, we'll see. And then I'm just guessing Matt Shackman's going to get another shot with a Fantastic Four sequel in a couple of years. Yeah. That's going to be my guess.
Wow. So Thunderbolt is what ahead with the lead with two
over... now. So yeah, might not be catchable.
Let's see.
All right, you're up.
Okay. Best episode of a series. We have episode 9 of Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, episode 8 of Daredevil Born Again, episode 3 of Ironheart, episode 4 of Eyes of Wakanda, and episode 4 of Marvel Zombies. And the winner here is Isle of Joy, episode 8 of Daredevil Born Again, with 62.2%.
Okay, so that's 6 awards for Daredevil. It's possible. Oh, no, but that was it. That's the last TV award, isn't it?
Well,
Best series. Oh, gosh, no, it could do it. Best series, obviously, we've talked about this. Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, Daredevil, Ironheart, Eyes of Wakanda, Marvel Zombies, and Daredevil wins that again.
Yeah.
So that's 7 for Daredevil, 7 for Thunderbolts.
Wow.
So if Thunderbolts wins best film below, if it wins best film, then it's going to win, the most awards this year. What's crazy about that, by the way, is for me, I don't know that I voted Daredevil Born Again. I loved it. I really loved my experience with Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man. I know it's animated, so that's where, I don't know, but I can't remember if I voted for that. And surprisingly, I very much enjoyed Ironheart. So I don't remember which one I voted for.
Yeah. I know. I would say Daredevil and Ironheart are much closer than I would have ever expected if we were talking this time last year.
Oh, yeah. This time last year, we thought Ironheart was like the most cancelable show possible. Like, if you're not going to run it, like, why put it out? And that is not the case.
No.
So shout out Ironheart. Here we go. Best film. You're up. Best film.
Wow. Okay. Best film. Captain America, Brave New World, Thunderbolts, and Fantastic Four, First Steps. And the winner is Captain America, Brave New World. No. The winner is Thunderbolts with 63% of the vote. Doubling the Fantastic Four votes. I will note, we did have a showing for Brave New World.
As I say, shout out to whoever voted, or a couple people maybe that voted for Brave New World.
I haven't said this, but there have been a couple of categories where, well, I guess we talked about the Bucky appearance in Brave New World. There are a couple where Brave New World had a decent showing.
Best action sequence could have been a good vote. The Celestial Island fight's pretty cool.
I think that one was fairly high. I think if we didn't have Thunderbolts and Fantastic Four in the same year as that, then I think there were some moments in Brave New World that could have gotten more recognition. But
so our final tally is Thunderbolts with 8 friendly award wins, Daredevil with 7, Fantastic Four with 5, Ironheart with 1, and Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man with 1.
Wow.
Hold on. Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man had to have been... No. Yeah, with 1. With 1. Okay. And so without reading... First of all, thank you everyone for voting. That's so fun for us. It's such a cool look at the year that was. You're right.
Yeah.
It's interesting how these things fall into certain years. Like Captain America, Brave New World falling in a year where just Deadpool is the only movie. Like maybe it does win some of the awards, you know?
Yeah, I think I think it probably would have.
Or like, I'm trying to think of other years, but there were some years where it would be competitive in certain categories for sure.
Yeah.
Most anticipated series of 26, you guys chose X-Men 97 3-1 over... Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, both second seasons. So 73% to 26%.
Crazy.
I would have gone inverse. And I think you said you'd go inverse. Oh, you were in between that. That's interesting for us to know.
I think I would probably go inverse.
The rest of these are just fun for us to know. Like as we're building shows out for the rest of the year, you know, you and I building episodes.
Yeah. Most anticipated live action series of 2026. This one I thought would be close and it is. Just as a reminder for people, which is also kind of good as we're just looking ahead at the year, because I think it's hard for people to keep track sometimes. The live action series we'll have this year are Wonder Man coming up very soon.
Have you watched
Daredevil Born Again? I haven't yet. I actually just realized today that I have those screeners and I need to.
We're going to record it this week. So you got to get going.
How many have you watched?
I've watched four, and that's where I told you I'm pausing and you're going to pause. You're not going to watch episode five until we record episodes 1 through 4. Then we'll watch 5 through 8 and we'll record again.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I haven't talked to you about it at all. I don't know how you're feeling.
I don't want to say anything on this episode in case somebody doesn't want any reaction. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's a show.
It's coming out very soon.
Wonder Man, Daredevil Born Again season 2, Vision Quest, and The Punisher. And the winner here, just by 6%, is Vision Quest.
Yeah.
And I think that makes sense. That's probably what I would vote, just because I miss Paul Bettany so much.
So do I. But one of my big takeaways from the friendlies in 26 here is that Daredevil Born Again only lost that by 6%, season 2 of Daredevil Born Again. And I think that's a good reminder because I think sometimes I'm online too much and I see a lot of the negativity from like Daredevil truthers that were mad about that series. And yet it literally had 7 award wins and it almost was the most anticipated. That's good for me to remember. Kyle, get your mind right for March because people still love Daredevil. Okay, let's not talk crazy here.
I had the same reaction. I've heard so many people be like, it was fine. But I mean, especially in a year where Ironheart was great, where Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man was great. Like there were plenty of other options for people to like support other series. And they showed up for Daredevil.
And our final most anticipated film of 2026, Avengers Doomsday, 86.6% to Spider-Man, 13%. I don't think that's a bash on Spider-Man at all. I think it's just the nature of, oh my goodness, we have 2 Avengers movies coming up. And trust me, as someone who just watched Infinity War and Endgame this last week, that hit me. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We have Avengers movies coming up. They're just a different breed. Yeah. It's a different thing. And we haven't had it in seven years.
Sylvester, Avengers music coming up.
Right. We have Chris Evans coming back and Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Hemsworth.
Man, it's crazy. This is the most excited for the Super Bowl I've ever been.
Yeah. Okay, Rob, this is going to be hard to read, but we asked people, what's your favorite non-Marvel TV project? You can see it, Rob. Look at this, some of this. We got some votes for Superman, Severance, a bunch of votes for Severance, Pluribus.
And I think I may have scrolled down a little bit.
You messed this up a little bit.
Yeah.
We kind of asked the same question twice.
Because I split it up for some of them, but do we have a separate film and TV?
No, you accidentally typed, I think, that and then project. So people doubled down on some of these.
Yeah, that's so fine. That's
just kind of look at, there's a lot here, obviously.
Yeah. I am. I mean, Superman makes sense.
One battle after another.
Sinners.
Andor. Yeah. Season. Yep. Andor. A couple Andors. Yeah. Pluribus. Stranger Things. Fallout.
Invincible.
Peacemaker.
Great. Peacemaker was great.
Heated rivalry. Marvel
this is
film.
All just film. So this is what I wanted to do just to kind of separate it out. I forgot to delete that first question.
Yeah, okay. So that's what it is. Because then you asked series next. So films, anything.
Yeah.
Weapons, yeah. I watched One Battle After Another last week, by the way.
It's great.
F1, K-pop Demon Hunters, let's go. That's funny. Wake up, Dead Man, that's Marty Supreme.
I have not seen Marty Supreme yet. Candace and I are dying to figure out a way to see it soon.
But welcome to parenthood. It's hard to get out to theaters all the time. it sucks. Warfare. K-pop Sinners. Again. Sinners again. Yeah. Big stretch, though. In general, I'll say, this is my critique, that's not my favorite year. You know, there are years where, like, I have slam dunks, like, five movies that I would add to the category. I liked One Battle After Another. I did. But, you know, that's not totally my scene for a movie. It was good.
I think, I don't know. I think that this, I'm trying to think back to last year. I mean, 2023 was a really fun movie year. I thought Sinners was great. One Battle After Another was great.
But, like, best picture great, Sinners? Did you think? Like compared to, like, you know, compared to, like, Parasite?
Hard. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean or Oppenheimer, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's going to be One Battle After Another or Marty Supreme based on what I've read, but I have not seen Marty Supreme yet. I think One Battle After Another, Candace and I rewatched it when my brother was in town. And I actually think it went up for me. It's like better made than I even realized on the first
it's
watch.
It's really so good. He's funny and it's really good. It's also very much a Hollywood movie. Like, that is going to win because that is, like, to me, that is, that's like Once Upon a Time
Christmas
in Hollywood.
Adventures.
It's very much like their scene.
Yeah.
Here's where we said non Marvel TV series. But so this is the same thing. I'm just gonna see if there's anything. Welcome to Derry.
Invincible season 3. Invincible is maybe the show that I am just the most into in general. Like, as soon as they announce the new season, I'm gonna be so into it.
Did you watch Pluribus?
I did. Yeah, we finished it. I thought also, like, it's finished strong. I was like, I'm excited for the next season. That show, like,
it was so strange for me now that you've seen it, just because if you watched just the first episode, that's my scene. Like, sci-fi, scary as crap, I thought.
Yeah.
Like, just weird and scary. And then the whole rest of the show changes tone. Obviously, if you watch the show, you'll know what I mean. And so I wasn't as into the very slow paced kind of almost just like, and some people loved it, but you know what I mean? It's no matter if you liked it or didn't like it, you have to admit it's very different from what they set in the first episode.
Yeah. Well, I love what it's doing in terms of, like, it's taking a really interesting look at the rise of either, like, AI or just kind of internet groupthink. And there's a lot of really interesting stuff that's baked into that. And
totally
I
agree.
Think it's very thought provoking in that way.
Totally agree.
But yeah, I think one thing about that show is it would always leave me in just kind of a weird headspace. Like, it was hard for me to get, like, I was excited to watch it because there are a lot of really great cliffhangers and I wanted to see what was happening. And it's so, you're right, it's so unique. But it's one that, like, sometimes it was hard for me to think, like, I'm in the headspace to watch this.
Sure.
Because it's just kind of, like, at times heavy and, but it's, yeah, there's not, like, there's less, like, fantasy sci-fi stuff than maybe was even promised at the beginning, which is totally fun because I think that in some ways that makes it
well. I think more just preference wise though, that's what I think I miss. Like I whenever they're dealing with what is this virus and how do you fix it and where's it coming from and why, that's the stuff I'm like, oh, that's Nolan. I love that.
Yeah.
The other messages and stuff. Okay. It just changed tone. That's all. I liked it still. Really liked it.
I do just as we like leave off the 2025 answers here, which were really fun to see. I love how much range there is. Like,
yeah,
there is
Abbott Elementary
stuff that I would expect. Yeah. Like Abbott Elementary,
Yellow Jackets.
We have like Silo. We have some of these I haven't even heard of. But yeah, they're shrinking, which is great. Ping Mouth.
Chad Powers.
And then like there's some down here, like I've never even heard of a lot of these.
Or Dan.
Last of Us season 2.
Wow. Not my
was
vote.
That was 2025? I guess it was.
Yeah. Earlier on, but yeah.
Yeah.
Like same Crazy. With Severance. Severance season 2 came out in January. So I think that's why some people forgot, but that was my answer. Yeah. What's your most anticipated non-Marvel film of 26? Obviously a lot of votes for The Odyssey, Supergirl, DC lovers, Project Hail Mary got a few votes. Nice. Did you see the trailer for Disclosure Day? That's gotten a few votes. I did.
That was fun. Yeah.
Dune obviously is this year.
Dude, The Mandalorian and Grogu, does anyone know that movie is coming out that is not like every time I talk to somebody about that movie, it always comes as a complete surprise to them that it is in fact coming out in theaters. And I don't mean that as shade to anyone involved. I just feel like Disney has not
made
a lot of noise about that.
I think I can partially answer for that. Wow. Let me start over. 3, 2, 1. I can partially answer that question for you. I can't talk. You know, there was just a shakeup at Star Wars, right? Kathleen Kennedy's kind of stepping down and yes. I think Dave Filoni's taking over, whatever. And I guess as like part of this shakeup, don't quote me on this, but there's even rumors like, is it going to come out, period? Which is would be crazy to not do it now. Wow. But I wonder if that's why they're keeping it quiet until they know what Star Wars is going to be. Does that make sense?
Interesting.
Like, where are they going with Star Wars? Sure. What are they doing? It will come out because I don't think they can just throw that kind of money away. If they already have a trailer, they've shot almost all of it. You can't just throw that away. But yeah, like there's been a lot of rumors about like a Ben Solo movie or like is Rey's movie going to come out now? Like was it going to come out? Are they going to totally start over? There's a new Starfighter movie with Sean Levy, Ryan Gosling. Anyways, it's currently very mixed up. A lot of Dune, a lot of Odyssey. Yeah, a lot of Mandalorian. Supergirl, Michael. A lot, basically like 3 or 4 movies there that everyone answered.
Yeah.
And then as far as series goes, any of these intriguing?
Let's see, 9 of the 7 Kingdoms. That's the Game of Thrones spinoff, Invincible season 4. Yep.
Severance season 3 won't be this year. There's no way. They're not close to having it done.
Yeah, in fairness, this person did say Severance season 3 ? Don't know a release date yet.
Right. It won't be this year though. Shrinking. I've heard Shrinking's a great show. I have not watched it. A lot of votes for Shrinking.
You would love it. You and Annika would love it.
I think so. Spider-Noir. That's Nick Cage's spinoff from Into the Spider-Verse.
Uh-huh.
House of the Dragon, Ahsoka. Are they making another season of Ahsoka?
I didn't know that. That's actually one of the few that I missed and had still need to go back and catch.
A fourth season of Ted Lasso. I didn't know that either. I thought Ted Lasso was done.
Oh, wow. Yeah, same.
Is it?
Man,
The Boys. 4 votes for The Boys.
Yeah, the Star Wars Maul Shadow Lord. That's kind of fun.
Not sure if it's 2026, but Yellow Jackets, highly recommend for Kyle. That's multiple people that have told me I would like Yellow Jackets. Multiple people.
I think I've seen the pilot of Yellow Jackets, and based on that, it does seem like something that you would enjoy. I think scroll back up. There was something that I just saw that. Oh no, I think what I was going to say is I'm going to say this, and I'm curious for folks to either hop in the Discord and say something there or shoot us an email. I have a hard time with The Boys still. Maybe it's just cuz I'm obviously someone that likes the way that like classic superhero projects feel, and I know that that's sort of supposed to subvert that.
We're both not huge fans of the cynical thing in general. Like in general, life is so tough. Like, let's stop being cynical about everything. Okay, I don't get into
it. It's why like Invincible does some of that stuff. Like it sort of takes a more realistic approach on certain things and a lot more like moral gray. But I think that it still feels like it's got the DNA of a classic. Like good versus evil thing flowing through it. And I think, yeah, The Boys is just like, it feels like every time I watch that show, it is trying to, like, it's trying to outdo the last really shocking thing that it did. And, but again, I'm curious to hear from people, that,
well, obviously some people, you know, love it. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, a ton. My brother is a huge fan. And I maybe, I don't know if there's someone that can give me like their version of like a Neil, Robbie listen, for the Boys past like season one, then I'm open to it. But, I do think Invincible is one of those things that if you ever are
you
feeling like an animated void, Kyle, I think that you would be into that one.
You love Invincible.
I love it. It's so good. It's so good.
That's a wrap on the 2026 Friendly Awards. So much fun. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Thanks for voting. Thanks for listening. Even people, I think people forget, if you just listen to this episode, you've already supported us. So that's a huge help to us. This has been long, and I know you got a child to get back to. I'll just close us by saying there's a lot of fun stuff coming. As we hinted at, Robbie, you need to watch episodes 1 through 4 of Wonder Man, because I want to track that with you in the next few days.
Yep.
And I would like to track some Friends from Work Plus bonus content with you, including our Winter Soldier Marvel Comics 101. So those are the two things I'm going to task you with publicly. Watch those,
and you
finish your comic, and let's talk about it.
So you're ready to talk Brubaker? You finished?
Yep. I'm like,
yes.
Okay. I'm like 20 pages from being done. So the second you say we're going to do it,
okay,
I'll read it, you know, that night.
Nice.
So yeah. And then we'll do episodes 5 through 8 of Wonder Man. So it'll be split into 2 podcast episodes. And I think the following week, I won't promise this, but we're going to try to circle back on our bold predictions for the year, which is always a really fun thing.
And then we're
almost a Daredevil. So lots of homework for you and for our listeners. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting. We'll see you right back here next week on Friends from Work. We love you.